Thank you for that, Pastor Dan. You are a friend indeed. I love you, brother. I don't know about you guys, but my soul is fired up this morning in Jesus. Woo! Worship team, awesome. Yeah. Wow. Like, I'm conflicted. I don't know whether to jump and run or like just to fall before God. The words of that song, my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your wings. Yeah. God, I thank you. Woo! I will love you forever and forever. I will sing. Can we just take a moment and give God some glory that he provides refuge in the shadow of his wings? God, we thank you. God, you're worthy. God, you're worthy of all the praise this morning. God, you're worthy of all the glory and the honor this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How great you are, God. How great you are, God. God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Excuse me, church. You just got to bear with me. I got to get that out of my soul. I can try to follow these notes, but man, God is good. We ended service last week declaring the goodness of God. God is good. And all the time. Come on, God is still good this Sunday morning, as good as he was last Sunday morning. If you serve a God that's good, just shout it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoop. Worship, worship, worship. That was what you guys know me. I love worship. I love worship. And I could stay in that place till 12 o'clock this afternoon till we got dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good. God, you are so good. Lord, we want nothing more than to experience the goodness of your presence this morning. God, I ask that you would move through your word. Lord, that you would use your manservant this morning to speak your word to your people, God. God, that you would guide my thoughts, that you would guide my words, that I'd say nothing more or nothing less than you have desired. Woo, this morning, Jesus, that your name would be glorified. Amen. That your people would be touched, encouraged, healed, delivered, saved this morning because the power of your word, God. Yes, and I pray all these things in your name, the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Woo, all right. May I pray? I have a voice left this morning. I didn't do a vocal warm-up this morning, but I was hollering during worship. And I can feel it getting scratchy already. The word God put on my heart for the last several weeks was influence. And I've just been thinking about just all the different ways influence applies to my life. Influence applies to our lives. And first of all, I want to say thank you to Pastors Phil and Carrie. Thank you for all of the members, the longtime members here, for what you've done and poured into this church and the influence pastors that you have been on my life, the influence that this church has been on mine and my family's life. I thank you so dearly for your guys' influence on my life. I love you so much. I've been thinking about... I just thought about the influence that Devin, my wife, and I have on our kids' life. They're getting older. I was looking back at pictures when we first moved to Pullman, and they were, I think, what, 2 and 3 years old? They had just 1 and 2 years old, and they just turned 11 and 10 years old. My mom was here a few weeks ago, and she was hanging out with Chancellor, and she's, as grandparents do, they spoil them. She took them shopping, and she came back, and she was like, man, your son wants to be just like you. Everything, it was like, can I get those? Those are like what Dad has, and he never, like, says that to me, but apparently I'm influencing him in that way. And then our daughter Della had, we celebrated her 10th birthday this last weekend. She invited a few friends over, and, like, the way her mom is influencing her. My wife, the way she will host a party, and she's by trade a design, an interior designer. So our daughter, she had a plan. She had vision. She's like, we got to go to the store. I need streamers. I need plates. I need napkins. I need a snack tray. And she got home. She laid it all out. She was organizing the meat and the cheese on her snack tray. Okay, where are the desserts? Dad, I need you to cut the desserts. And you got to even on this plate and even, what time is it? Are they here? I'm like, hello, mom. But just thinking through all this, and then yesterday I was just praying on this message about influence, and I just started to thank God for his influence on my life. God, I thank you for your influence on my life. If it had not been for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, I know where my life would be. And it wouldn't be good. God, I thank you for your influence on my life. Influence is such a powerful thing. It's such a powerful thing. I want to read the definition here. It says, influence is the capacity to indirectly affect or alter the behaviors, beliefs, or actions of others without using direct force or overt commands. The capacity to indirectly affect or alter your behaviors, your beliefs, your actions without direct force or direct command. Do you understand how powerful influence is? Influence dictates how people behave, the decisions they make, the things they do, what they believe about themselves and their life without any kind of necessarily direct force or command. Influence is so, so powerful. If you'd stand with me this morning, I want to read a passage of scripture that talks about the influence that Paul had. It's Acts 17, 2 through 4, and it reads, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. You can be seated. Listen to a pastor preach and talk a couple times, and he talks about, I've mentioned it before, I love reading God's word, and I love studying God's word. This pastor talks about, like, not just reading the Bible, like text, like this is an action-packed book with a ton of, like, adventure, excitement, like you want a good movie, like, narrate this and play it out in your head. You've got some pretty good action going on. But he talks about not just reading it straight through with this like monotone narrative, but to have influx in your voice and to speak as if you were the characters and in that text. And it really stands out in this passage of scripture, and even just to put the emphasis in the right place. And I had to find that out reading this. You know, when it says, Paul said, this Jesus whom I preach, he is the Christ. He's in the synagogue influencing. He's in the synagogue preaching Christ Jesus, trying to influence Jews towards Christ. So he said that with passion. And then verse 4, which is where our text is hanging this morning, it says, and some of them, so he went into the synagogue where Jews would have been. And it says, and some of them, that's where we put our influence, were persuaded. And then it says, a great multitude of devout Greeks. It's continuing to list people who were persuaded. Because I was reading this kind of the wrong way when I initially started, and it says that, then if the way I was reading it, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded. And that made me think some of those Jews were persuaded. And then it just kind of gives this random list. And a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But no, when it says that some of them were persuaded, it's talking about this whole group. Everyone that was in earshot that heard Paul preaching, all of them were persuaded. This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. And to the Jews, and some of them were persuaded. And to the Greeks, the God-fearing Greeks, and a great multitude of them were persuaded. And the leading women, them, and some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. And the reason Paul was able to persuade, the reason Paul was able to influence this group of people is because Paul lived, what I want to talk about this morning, under the influence. Paul lived under the influence. My first point this morning is be influenced. Be influenced. It's important to know that we are all influenced by something or someone. We are all influenced by something or someone. And we have to be intentional about what we let influence us. We have to be intentional about what we let influence us. The relationships and the friendships that we have, how do they influence us? The conversations that we have, how do they influence us? The music we listen to or the TV shows that we watch, how do they influence us? As we scroll through our phone, how is it influencing us? The things we consume in our diet, both natural and spiritual, how are those things influencing us? We have to be intentional about what we let influence us. Because if we're not intentional, I would argue that if we're not intentional about what we let influence us, we're going to default to probably the worst or the easiest of influences. And in this context, that's the influence of the world. If we as Christians are not intentional about what we let influence us, God can do whatever he wants to do, but I would argue we will fall default to the influence of the world if we're not intentional. And as believers, our primary influence should be that of the Holy Spirit. As believers, the primary influence in our lives should be that of the Holy Spirit. All of those other things are good to engage, relationships, friendships. It's okay to watch a TV show and to listen to music, but filter those things through the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit influence how you engage those things. As believers, I'll say it again, our primary influence should be that of the Holy Spirit. And I think it's important, and Jesus realized this, I think it's so important to realize the intention it takes to be influenced by the right things. We all know the effect of influence in our lives, but it takes intention to be influenced by the right things. Two passages of scriptures that I want to read emphasize, point to how much Jesus realized the importance of being intentional about how you're influenced. In Luke 24:49, it says this, "I am going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Why was it so important for Jesus to tell his disciples after they had watched him been crucified, hung on the cross, he was buried, and then he rose again? Why was it so important for Jesus to emphasize, you need to stay in the city? Stay in the city until you receive power. They just watched him be brutally beaten because people didn't agree with his message. They watched him die on the cross. They watched what envy and jealousy led people to do to murder Jesus Christ. And they're his disciples. They're being commissioned to preach the same message that influenced people to do that to him. I think they were probably a little nervous. I would have been. So there's intentionality when Jesus says, stay. Because personally, I'd be like, Jesus, I know you got up, but I just watched what happened and peace, I'm out. Jerusalem's not the place for me. There's intentionality behind his stay. The text doesn't necessarily say this, but perhaps, you know, they just received a commission that says you're gonna go to the ends of the earth preaching this message. Like the ends of the earth, that's a long ways away. I think I should get started. Like maybe that's why they needed to be encouraged to stay. Either way, Jesus emphasized you need to stay. in the city. Jesus was highlighting their location because it was important, because he knew that that's where the influence of the Holy Spirit was gonna come. The location was important. Today, your location is important. This morning, you all made an intentional choice to be in the house of God. Today, I pray that you were influenced by the worship this morning. Today, I pray that the Holy Spirit works in all of our hearts, that we would be influenced by his word this morning. But it's hard to be influenced by these things if you're not in the right place. It's hard to be influenced by worship in congregation if you're asleep at home. It's hard to be influenced by the preaching of the word if you're at home watching cartoons, eating a bowl of cereal in the morning. Your location is important. Come on, that's good. Amen. The second thing that was emphasized in scripture, Acts 1 and 8, Jesus says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." The key part of this scripture, he says, you shall receive. You shall receive. There's so many times in scripture I come across these words when it's like, but let this mind of Christ be in me. Those are such important words because they give us context that we have to do something. The text says that you shall receive. Do you know if somebody gives you something and you don't receive it, you don't get it? Right? You have to receive it. So there's something intentional about receiving the power. That word receive, that word, a phrase, you shall receive, lambano, means to take or to get hold of. There's the intentionality. And I love the Greek lexicon definition. It says to receive or accept an object or benefit for which the initiative rests with the giver. That's the Holy Spirit. Receive something of benefit, which the initiative rests with the giver. That's the Holy Spirit. But the focus of attention in the transfer is upon the receiver. That's us. The focus of attention in the transfer of the gift, the thing that's beneficial, it shifts to us. In other words, now the ball is in your court. God made a promise. He's not a man that he should lie. He said he promises the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, stay here. You shall receive. Now the ball's in your court. There's intentionality by the things that were influenced. It says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. I love this. I did my happy dance in my chair when I was studying this, and I read, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, the definition of that phrase has come, the word epikomai, the definition, supervene, arrive, occur, impend, attack, influence. Influence. You shall receive power when you're influenced by the Holy Spirit. Jesus's followers had to make an intentional choice to stay and receive the influence of the Holy Spirit. I submit to you this morning, church, that we have to be disciples under the influence. We all need to get our DUI license this morning. Amen. We have to be disciples under the influence. Yeah, I like it. The influence of the Holy Spirit. Number two, once we get our DUI, once we become disciples under the influence of the Holy Spirit, That's a key part. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. After we become influenced, after we are influenced by the Holy Spirit, we have to be an influence. Point number two, we have to be an influence. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, we are all influencing something and someone. Just like when I talked about Chance being with my mom and her coming home and saying, man, your son is just like you, wants to be just like his dad. It's just things he's never said to me before, like some of the things that she brought up in terms of, yeah, my dad has to have my dad. Like, I didn't realize he was recognizing those things. I know he sees me every single day, but he's like logging and categorizing those things like, I want to be like him. There are people watching you every single day that you're influencing. And they're saying, I want to be like them. Your kids, I want to be like them. Your students, I want to be like them. Your coworkers, your neighbors, I want to be like them. We are all influencing something and someone. Even babies have immense influence over the lives of their parents. Even babies have immense influence over the lives of their parents. Here's a couple clips that show, maybe here's some heroic influence kids have over their parents, causing them parents to move in heroic ways.
Thank you.
Those crack me up because I just think of, like, as parents, as we get older, like, the quick twitch fibers, they start to diminish and we become largely slow twitch. But if we've got kids and they're in danger, something about quick twitch comes back real fast. I think that's hilarious. So there's some heroic ways we're kind of influenced by our kids where we're like, yeah, I still got it. There's other ways that we're influenced by our kids too. Maybe dads that aren't necessarily so heroic. Here's one. I resonate with that video a lot because our daughter, Della, wouldn't let anyone feed her besides her mom. And, like, I don't really have a problem with, like, she won't let any of you guys feed her besides, but she didn't even let me feed her. Like, I'm not joking you, I never once gave my daughter a bottle because she didn't want to take a bottle from me. The only person she would take a bottle from, that she would let feed, hardly ever even take a bottle, is her mom. So that resonates with me a lot. And it speaks to the extent that we'll go to for our kids. It speaks to the influence that even a baby has in our lives. And if a baby has that much influence, how much more all of us sitting in this room? How much influence you have? Understanding the influence that you have in the places and the people around you is so important because influence is so powerful. Amen. Influence is so powerful. We have social media. We're in a time in social media where people are literally chasing influence. They're chasing influence. They're spending their entire day, all their time, they're spending resources because they want to be an influencer, because social media has given anybody a platform anytime and anywhere, and they're literally chasing influence. But church, I want you to know that we don't have to chase influence. We receive our influence from the best influencer, and that of the Holy Spirit. And there's only one like that matters. There's only one thumbs up that matters. You can have a million thumbs up on your post. I don't care. I need one thumbs up, and that's from God, my Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. Point number two, be an influence. Let's look at how Paul was an influence. Acts 17, 2 and 4, what we read. Then Paul, as his custom, hold on to that, remember that, went into them, talking about the Jews that were in the synagogue, and for 3 days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded. And the great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women, that word persuaded right there, pytho, means to convince. Persuaded, to convince. It's also translated as have confidence. If you are persuaded, you now have confidence. It suggests that if you're persuaded, you now have made a friend. If you have confidence, or if you've been persuaded, you will now listen to and obey that which who persuaded you. You trust that person who persuaded you. It's easy to read through that text, and some of them were persuaded and not catch the gravity, the weight of what is happening. These are Jews in a synagogue who have a very strong belief system. It says many devout Greeks, God-fearing Greeks, who have previously been persuaded, influenced by those Jews. Now it's saying Paul's coming in preaching Christ and has convinced them. He's changed their persuasion towards Christ. He's convinced them. He's made a friend in Christ. He's caused them to believe in Jesus. He's now causing them to believe and obey what Jesus says. He's persuaded them. That's influence. Influence. We have to be intentional with our influence. It said, then Paul, as his custom was, went into the synagogue. This means anytime Paul goes into a new city, he's gonna find a synagogue of Jews and go preach Christ, as his custom was. That's intentionality with his influence. He had a message of saving grace from Jesus Christ, and he said, no matter where I go, I'm gonna find people who need to hear this message. I've been influenced. I need to find those who need to be influenced. We have to be, like Paul, intentional about our influence. Amen. Then it says at the end of that passage that that these people, so the Jews, influential Jews, religious leaders, get the scope of his impact, the impact of his influence. Influential Jewish leaders in the synagogue, they were persuaded. Then it says devout Greeks. Many, a multitude of devout Greeks, multitude, that's a big word. So he's influenced religious leaders now. Now he's influenced a multitude of devout Greeks. And then it says, not a few. In other words, many leading women. So he's reaching social classes. He's reaching genders. He's reaching different religious beliefs. He's, Paul's scope of influence, because of his intentionality, is exploding because he's intentional with his influence. And then it says they joined him. They joined Paul and Silas, and that word join, proskleroo, means to associate with. In our context, you'd say like you have an associate. That doesn't really speak to, in our context, in our vernacular today, it doesn't really speak to deep relationship, right? Like, yeah, that's my associate. This kind of means like we're acquainted. There's the cordial hi, bye, how you doing? Small talk level relationship, right? But the word, that word comes from the root words pros and klereo. And the word pros means near to. Near to, it says they joined Paul and Silas. They came near to Paul and Silas. And the second part of that word, kleroo, means they. It says to obtain an inheritance. Obtain an inheritance. I don't know. But that resonated with me. They heard this message, and they were persuaded. They were so influenced by the message that Paul brought to them that they drew near to Paul. And then it says they obtained an inheritance because he influenced them towards an inheritance. His influence was so powerful. The inheritance they inherited was that which what Christ gave them on the cross when he died and offered salvation if you believed in his name. That's a powerful influence. They drew near to him and obtained because he understood, one, who he was influenced by, and two, understood the importance of his influence. Paul, all throughout Acts, had an undeniable witness. Paul stays under the influence in the midst of rejection and persecution. Yeah, Paul maintained his witness. What allowed Paul to maintain his witness? One, he had an encounter that absolutely changed his life forever. He was riding on the road to Damascus, and he got knocked off his donkey onto his donkey. And he was blinded, and the Lord spoke to him, and he met him there in that place, and he spoke to his future. He had an encounter that changed his life forever that would allow him to maintain his witness. The second thing that happened to Paul is he understood his assignment. Paul understood the assignment. In Acts 9, right after his conversion, 9:15, it says this, but the Lord said to him, go, he's talking to Ananias, to go receive Paul. And he said, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. I will show him many things that he will suffer for my name's sake. I want you to know that influence has a cost. Influence has a cost. Paul was able to maintain it because he believed what God said to him. He understood the assignment. Jesus never told us that following him would be easy, but he did tell us it would be worth it. So many people are chasing influence, not understanding the cost. Understand the cost of your influence. You have to, in order to maintain your influence, to maintain your witness. Often we talk about how God doesn't show us the entirety of his plan because we'd back out even before we started. If God just showed you the whole big picture, you're like, no thanks, I'll pass. But I think sometimes God pulls back the curtain far enough for us to see his plan so that we know we can't accomplish that without his influence. That's what he did here to Paul. And I think it's so important, like when God shows you something that might scare you, that might make you a little bit hesitant because it's bigger than what you understand you can do in your own strength, lean into the influence of the Holy Spirit. Point three, maintain your influence. Paul shows us that this influence has an in and out principle. It's an in and out principle. At least 10 times in Acts, it mentions Paul being influenced by the Holy Spirit after his conversion. At least 10 different times from Paul's conversion in chapter 9 till the end of the chapter, somewhere in like 22, there's 10 references to Paul being influenced over and over again by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost wasn't a one-hit wonder. The Holy Spirit doesn't limit his influence to the moment that you receive him. The influence of the Holy Spirit isn't just a moment. He wants us to stay under his influence, to be DUIs, disciples under influence. There's an in-and-out principle. It kind of reminded us in Illustrators of In-N-Out Burger. Right? Okay, get excited about that. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. The in-and-out principle. If I come in hungry, when I go to In-N-Out, I come in hungry. I'm getting a 4x4 animal style with fries and a shake. When I leave, I'm gonna be full. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come in hungry. Come into the presence of the Holy Spirit hungry. Come into worship service hungry. Come into your Bible study hungry. Come into Mirror and Bible Foundations and Carpenter Series hungry, and you will leave full. And then you will go out filled with the Holy Spirit and be an influence. In my conclusion, what do we do with our influence? The do's and don'ts of influence. The first thing I encourage you don't compare your influence. Very good. Do not compare your influence. That's amazing. That's exactly what the Jewish leaders did when Jesus came on the scene. They compared his influence to theirs, and it drove them to envy and jealousy to the point of murder. Do you see how dangerous comparison is of your influence? Don't compare your influence. Comparison is so dangerous. Don't read Acts and jump to the conclusion that your influence is gonna look exactly like Paul's. It's an example of the influence that we should have. The overall example is influence. Be influential while being under the influence. Lastly, be an example. Paul told this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I would encourage you this morning, let no one despise your age. Let no one, and don't you despise your age. Don't you or any, I think we probably despise those ourselves more than, we don't even give other people a chance to despise it because we don't go. Don't let anyone or don't you despise your age, your position, your title, your education, your background, where you came from. Don't despise it, but be an example. You want your life to have a guided and directed purpose? Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You want to have a life-altering impact on the people around you? Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Do you wish you could have dreams and visions of things to accomplish that are way too big for your abilities? Live under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Paul encouraged Timothy a very simple thing, and I encourage us this morning, this same simple thing. Be an example. Be an example in word, your tone. Give someone a word of encouragement. Just speak soft-heartedly to someone. And be an example in word, in conduct. Just smile. Find someone and smile at them. In your conduct, be an example. So many people walk around straight-faced, disengaged from society these days. If you just looked someone in the face and smiled, I promise you, you'll change somebody's life. Be an example in love. Just do a kind gesture. Open a door. Carry something for someone. Say hello. Be an example in spirit. Pray for someone. In faith. Church, it's the name of our church. Live your faith. Stand on your convictions. Be an example by living out your faith every single day. Be an example in purity. Let the Lord wash you, restore you, renew you, and give you clean hands and a pure heart. Just be an example. Church, my encouragement to us today is to live as DUIs, disciples under the influence of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.